How are you? Nice to see you again.
Do you have a name in front of you?
Yeah. Renee's got it there. Okay, we're just missing Brad so far, but he'll probably...
He followed me in and made a stop.
Okay, he's on his way, so we'll wait a few more seconds. He knows who I am. I'll introduce myself. I'm Patsy Petrie, for those of you who don't know me or haven't met me, and I am the county board member who brought the resolution to the county board to establish this local food policy council on the county level. And I know many of you were very supportive of this getting passed at the county level. It was a little bit tough. So any and all support, I was very appreciative of. Hi, Brad. You have a spot right there. And I thank all of you for applying to be part of the council, and appreciate your giving your time to be part of the council for the next 2 years. What I would like to do first, I'm not staying in this chair position very long because you're going to elect a chair, at which point I am going to leave the job here. But until that time, I'd like to just get everybody to know each other, since you'll be working together. And so I'll start in the back. And I'm
Sarah Riddle.
Sarah, yes. Tell us about yourself.
I am the produce manager at Common Ground Food Co-op, which is kind of how I became involved and interested in this. Beyond that, there's not a whole lot. I'm originally from Tennessee, and I grew up doing a lot of farming and agricultural sort of things. Then I moved to Illinois, where there's still more farming and agricultural sorts of things in my life. So that's kind of the long and short of it.
Well, thank you for being part of this, and especially as somebody who is obviously going to be representing some of the ideas from the co-op. That's superb. Mary Ellen.
Yeah, my name is Mary Ellen Farrell. Most people know me as Mel. Over the years, I've adopted that nickname. Right now, I work for Carly, which is...
Oh, half a second. Renee is about to tell me to remind you all. Speak into your microphones, would you? Because she is...
Transcribing.
Yeah, and it helps her. And just last Tuesday's county board meeting, you'll see little notes on the back of the name tags that say be sure to speak into your microphone, because we are the biggest sinners of turning around and yapping away, and makes it very difficult on her later on.
Right now I work for Carly, which is a consortium of academic and research libraries in Illinois. I work as a library systems coordinator. I'm also the president of the Urbana Free Library Board. But since I've lived in this town, I've always been taking an interest in food and farming, food and farming initiative, particularly edible food. When I first came here in 1968, I was shocked that there were no, you know, vegetable stands, farmers, roadside places. I came from the East Coast, where there's one just about on every corner. And it seemed to me like it was nothing but corn for animals and soybeans for animals, which is fine. But I have always been interested in increasing the footprint of food for...
Thank you very much. Zach.
My name is Zach Kennedy.
And in complete disclosure, Zach was a student of mine.
Yes, I was. I've been a Champaign native my whole life. I do both my degrees at U of I. I've had the pleasure of being in Patsy's courses in urban and regional planning. So I've always been interested in food systems as, you know, part of sustainable communities, sourcing as much local as possible. I'm here actually representing University of Illinois Extension, where I'm a community development educator, and I'm just excited to be a part of this process and looking forward to learning a lot from you guys.
And just to remind everybody, if you haven't, so that different entities specifically would be part of this whole group, and so this is why Zach says he's representing Extension, because I did have that in the resolution. Rebecca.
Hi, I'm Becky Roach. I work at the University of Illinois as a teacher of a big general education non-major nutrition course.
Addition to the group. Thank you. Brad.
Yeah, my name's Brad Eukin. I'm manager of the Champaign County Farm Bureau. We're a membership-based organization that works on agricultural issues. We've got about 2,500 or so farmer members. I grew up on a farm here in Champaign County, still help my father with the farming operation, primarily corn and soybean. Local foods is by all means part of agriculture, and it's a sector that has some demand in it, by all means here in Champaign County, and I want to help make sure that that demand gets met.
According to Sunday's paper, your parents just celebrated their...
That is correct.
...anniversary. Congratulations to them. See, I read the paper. Kathy.
I'm Kathy Capel, and I'm on the zoning board. I have a small farm between Sydney and St. Joe, and I raise food and sheep and fiber and meat and chickens and all that kind of thing.
Guinea hens and turkeys
and yeah, anything you can think of. I worked for the Land Connection for, I think, 4 years as a teaching farm beginnings and generally trying to help with succession issues when people are looking for alternatives to corn and soybean farming on land that they've inherited or land that they want to pass on.
Great addition. Hi, Lisa. Lisa
Hi.
And I crossed paths many years ago when I was doing the Planning Institute at the university.
I think through Genevieve, yeah. I'm Lisa Mead Hamelberg. I'm the creative director and lead writer at Surface 51, a local marketing firm. Probably my professional strengths lean toward communication, strategy building, and stakeholder building. My interest in food is really personal. I grew up kind of, we raised and stored all of our own foods on the farm, and so this is a chance for me to bring my personal interests.
Thank you.
And intersect them with my professional skills.
Chris, are you Christopher or Chris?
Chris is fine.
Chris, okay.
My name is Chris Henning. I work for the University of Illinois, specifically in dining. I'm one of the assistant directors. My main purpose is purchasing on large scale for institution. My connection with food is a little different. I'm a trained chef. I went to school in Vermont. And the food culture out there is a little closer to the farmer. Working in restaurants and going to the farmer's market to purchase items was always just part of the culture out there. In Illinois, it's a little bit different. It's a lot of corn and soybean. And working for a large institution is very different. It's a different scale of purchasing, and I'm here to find ways to integrate local foods into the university.
And Chris represents part of the resolution, and that is end users of local foods. So it's great to have you on board. Todd.
Well, I'm Todd Satterley. I've been a long time resident.
Last year to start up a community supported agriculture farm on 4 or 5 acres that sits right behind the church. And so we hired a farmer over the winter time and got him working on the CSA. And we had 3 weeks of just so far, and so we're just kind of feeling our way around. But you know, we really feel that you know, this is a good way to get people some good, healthy produce, locally grown. You know, it's remarkable to me that, you know, I took a class this spring where one of our assignments was to find out where food came from. Most of the fruits and vegetables that I are coming from Mexico.
Well, that'll be a good contribution to the group with what the church is doing. And that's very interesting. That's very helpful. I will entertain a motion to maybe that too to approve the agenda for tonight's meeting.
I move.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 All right. Thank you. Before we get to the election of a chair, I just wanted to say a few things, because then I'm going to relinquish this role as soon as you elect a chair. Since this council was approved by the county board, that means that the council functions under the Open Meetings Act. And if you would like to acquaint yourself or reacquaint yourself with that act, because there were some changes to it as of the first of the year, you can go to the Attorney General's website, and you can go through it very easily. In fact, a friend just did it today. It doesn't take long, and it's all online, so it's very easy to do. But that's just a reminder that there are only 9 of you. So
I already took that test.
Okay, great.
But, I mean, do I have to do it again?
No. It's just, I just want to remind you, and there are only 9 of you, and so that if not more than 2 of you can sit and chat together, unless you're in, you know, you've noticed it and things of that. That's the short side of a smaller group, whereas with the county board, there are 27 of us, so it's very difficult for us to err because it has to be 9 of us together. The second is that we do have a spot on the county website, in case you haven't discovered that, and the agenda and meeting materials will be up there, and we will post minutes of any handouts, any papers. The county is phenomenal in working toward transparency, and so there is a lot of material that gets, when I say dump, that's not derogatory, I mean really a lot of materials that get put up on the website. So I encourage you to take advantage of it. If you find educational materials, things that you would like up there, so the public can get to see them, or you can refer the public to them and say you can go to the website and look at things. If you choose, in your process of deciding what you all would like to do in the next 2 years, to apply for grants, I asked Deb Busey, who is the county administrator, what would be the process, and actually no group has ever done this before. So if you choose to do it, you're breaking ground, and she's delighted to have this happen. She's delighted to work with us on making certain that we follow all the procedures and get grants in a timely manner. So I'm happy to be the liaison for you all if you choose to do something like that. And I purposely did not choose to be on the council because I wanted the council to be made up of citizens of the community. That's why I'm not on it. I will be happy to come to the meetings, and I am your liaison with the county board, but if I was on there, that'd be one less person from the community, and I did not want that to happen. So the next item on the agenda is election of your officers, and when we were thinking this through, a chair, a vice chair, and a secretary seemed appropriate. We obviously, unless we get you all go for some grant money, there's no need for a treasurer. So I will entertain either nominations, or if somebody would just like to volunteer to be chair.
I nominate Todd.
Is there a second for Todd?
A second.
All right. Any other nominations? Is this nomination accepted unanimously? Yes? All right, Todd. I will change places with you. It's yours to run from now on. Okay.
Well, next is election of vice chair. Any nominations for vice chair? Volunteers for vice chair? You want me to appoint somebody?
I know I have a vice chair, but I think I have a vice chair.
Say that again. Okay. So there's a nomination for Becky.
Okay.
A second. Any other nominations? If there are no other nominations, all in favor of Becky as vice chair, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? That motion carries. And nominations or volunteers for secretary.
May I ask a question before?
Sure.
Introduce to you?
Okay.
Okay. Will someone, will you or one of the county board secretaries be taking minutes, or is our secretary going to be responsible for?
Your secretary.
Okay.
So it will be recorded?
So you're saying our secretary will be responsible for minutes?
You don't have to have them here, but if the group chooses to take it at the Urbana Library or the Champaign Library or something like that, they do need to be noticed.
I guess what I'm asking is, do they need to be taken verbatim?
No. I think most of the time the minutes would be action items. So whenever there's a motion, you know, who moved it, second, what the nature of the motion is, and, you know, whether it passed or failed.
Okay.
You know, if somebody wants to, you know, specifically have their comments recorded in the minutes, they would say that they would like to have those comments recorded. But usually it's action items.
Okay.
That's my understanding.
All right.
Are you then volunteering for that? Because I take that as volunteer.
I can do that.
Okay, we have a nomination for Kathy for secretary. Any other nominations? All in favor of Kathy being secretary, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries, and Kathy will be our secretary. Public participation. Patsy, do you want to participate anymore?
No, I've shared the things that I thought were important, and unless some questions come up.
Okay. Any of the members want to participate in public participation? Okay, then the next item is determination of the regular meeting day and time. Does this work out pretty well for everybody? Well, that's a good question, too. I don't know. Do you want to try to meet at the beginning, like every 2 weeks, and then see how we do? I mean, I think maybe every week might be a little aggressive, and every month might be too slow. So I was thinking about every 2 weeks. Does that sound good to everybody? What do you do?
Twice a month. Can we do it twice a month?
Mm-hmm. So what is this, the second Tuesday? So second and fourth Tuesdays?
Today's Monday.
Oh. Yeah, Tuesday might work better for me.
I can't do Tuesdays. I have the other board meeting second Tuesdays.
That leaves
Wednesday.
Oh, imagine there'll be too much interest in Friday meetings. Am I right?
I don't know. We could,
you know,
like meet at the
bathroom. Okay. Okay. I second that. Let's move this meeting up though to 5:00. 4:30. 4:00.
Are those early morning work for people?
No,
So it sounded like, did we say Wednesdays then? Is that, do we want it at 6:00? Or, I mean, if we can do it a little earlier, that would be okay with me, like at 5?
5 or 5:30.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
5:30 for people that get off at 5, yeah.
Okay, say 5:30.
Are you talking first and third or second? 2 months. So if we're starting this week,
it would be second and fourth.
Yeah.
Second and fourth Wednesdays at 5:30. And shall we just say we'll meet here unless we decide to meet somewhere else at a later time? Is this a good location for everyone?
Mm-hmm. Is this room open?
I'm supposing it is.
It's open, but someone will be responsible for locking up the door.
But and nobody else would be using it at that time?
No, for that matter.
Okay.
Wednesdays are...
There are no regularly scheduled meetings for Wednesdays?
No, Tuesdays and Thursdays are the...
Pardon?
No, but...
On Tuesdays and Thursdays, okay.
I can check tomorrow.
Anyone have a better idea for a meeting place? Do you want to just stay here for until we think of a better place? Okay.
Is it free?
Yeah. Okay. So 5:30, that's the second and fourth Wednesdays. Lyle Shields meeting room. Then I guess we can move on to item 8, discussion and review of resolution 8069 and next steps. Maybe the best thing to do is just open the floor for discussion at this point based on the resolution that was passed by the county board and maybe just you know, some initial thoughts, ideas of people, what you would like the committee to do over the next couple of years. Can you describe that a little bit? I'm not really familiar with what they're doing over there.
Yeah, and I'm not either, and that's why I would like to become familiar with it. So, I know they've been working on something for quite some time, and I'm having some involvement.
Well, they have something called a food hub. Is that what you were?
It's an aggregator of sorts of produce from various farms that an individual can go to and purchase a variety without having to hit each separate farm.
Right.
Kind of like a cooperative, is that what it is?
They're looking for a centralized area, you know, for...
No, aren't they also looking for somebody to run it? Because they're not planning on running it.
All I know is that the director of the farmers market in Bloomington has been very instrumental, but I don't know.
Yeah. My understanding is that they want to facilitate the development of a food hub,
right,
as opposed to actually
not being.
They're not going to be it. They're trying to facilitate the development.
Kathy, I think they're also looking for farmers. They haven't gone to that side of the equation yet either. So perhaps a good starting point, but is very, very challenging, is to kind of have an inventory of what's going on locally. Obviously, we're all aware of say, an Urbana farmer's market. What is going on with local foods? Is there 20 restaurants in Champaign-Urbana using it, or is there one? You know, what is kind of an inventory of farmers that are out? Challenging to do that. That's not an easy task to kind of get an inventory, but to figure out where you want to go, you kind of have to know where you're at today to figure out, can we get to someplace?
The Illinois Stewardship Alliance has an organization called Buy Fresh, Buy Local, and they publish a directory of farmers markets, restaurants, and farmers throughout central Illinois who are participating in Buy Fresh, Buy Local, which, I mean, it's a membership organization, so you have to actually pay your dues. But I do have a directory, so I can bring one.
There's also the SARE initiative, the Sustainable Agriculture. And they have a large presence in on the social networks, but you know it's trying to get a list of everybody that's doing things.
It's very challenging.
It really is.
Even though I say it, it's extremely challenging. Farmers are very independent.
Yeah, so. They don't want to be nailed down.
I think you're right. We need to know what's here.
Yeah, I think that's a really good first step. So when we're doing this and we do an inventory, are we going to confine ourselves to Champaign County?
Yeah, what's our scope?
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, obviously that's a natural boundary for us, but, you know, I think there are farmers coming in from other counties that are, you know, selling at the farmers market and maybe supplying other buyers too. But so I don't know, maybe we need to think about that a little bit. I think
maybe it would be a good idea to invite the Bloomington group, because they also were interested in moving in ring counties around it too. I think, you know, Hills, and I mean, that's why we're here, isn't it, Patty?
Yes, yeah. That, and a lot of things have happened. Brad, the Farm Bureau, did a program. I was out of state, so I didn't attend it, but they made a terrific...
the grocery stores and the farmers...
suggestion of identifying what is happening. I would encourage you not to think that the product has to be the final end product. Just starting alone, because one of the things I have found interesting is this is happening in the community, and we're not like McLean County or Springfield, where entities are being identified as using local foods and even saying who's local, you know, what foods they are using at the restaurants and different things like that. That would be just a terrific leg up, and once you start legging up, I'm sure others will say, hey, got us, and then you have the folks in Extension who have a lot of boots on the ground to get some terrific sort. With McLean County, I don't presume to speak for them. Actually, Kathy probably knows them better than I do, but
they have been accomplishing, which I've heard a couple of times at conferences, but probably we should bring some things about what you'd like to.
I
teaching diversity here with all of their smarts, how to figure out how to create a virtual food hub so that
farm where they said they planted 4,000 tomato plants. They're going to have all these, and they're going to use them because I guess you're making sauce and freezing them. But the thought of all of that going on, and then how do we? But I thought when I wrote the resolution was some of the really intriguing things. Boundaries, just because it's a Champaign County Council does not mean that's
a defined boundary. It's just a very
I think going along with the idea of not reinventing the wheel, in addition to finding out what's going on locally, doing a best practices search for similar bodies to this council in other areas and seeing what they've accomplished. What exactly are local food policy councils doing in X community or X county?
Does anybody know who else has local food policy councils?
I guess that'd be the first
That's
step.
The first thing to do.
Well, there's a statewide. You all could look at North Carolina.
Yeah.
Michelle Wander's
sister-in-law is at North Carolina State.
She was brought in to
governor appointed board.
Yeah. There's another model.
West Germany.
Models floating around, just like Zach said, to look at maybe not one lace over, but there are slices that might be captured by you all as you're thinking through. I mean, the whole. The only thing that's going to limit you is your imagination.
I had a question, and I wasn't sure whether this group can do this kind of thing, but I know that the University of Illinois is pledging to make a certain percentage of the food that you prepare in your dining halls, you know, locally sourced. Is that some kind of initiative that we could pursue for the whole county, or you know, is that too crazy, or I don't know.
That's what they did up in Maryland.
Goal with our benchmark. Sure. Alliance has done it. We're at 10%. Now they're in a little bit different
population setting, but they've got Fort Bragg, the universities, hospitals.
Chris, what's the current policy at the U of I dining?
There's a couple of policies out there. There's ICAP that has a certain percentage and radius as far as local purchases.
What's that, the Illinois Climate Action Plan?
Yes, and then there's our own Housing Sustainability Council, and we have a certain target percentage as well. And then there's the Illinois Local Foods and Farms Act, which requires any state entity to purchase, I believe it's 20% locally by the year 2020.
Right, and that Wes Jarrell was very involved in that.
What type of radius are they considering local? Again, everybody has their own definitions. I try to look within the Illinois borders. Housing itself has said 150-mile radius, I believe. I'm not sure what ICAP says. If anybody else is familiar with ICAP.
And for what it's worth, it was really interesting. There is an economic development council that is about 6 counties. And at one of the recent meetings, somebody within a was reporting back that if you actually look geographically at where we are really a good hub for food distribution. So from an economic development standpoint alone, a great potential.
Like back to the food hub that you all were kicking around.
Well, there have been a few ideas now. My understanding, what is there any staff that we're able to rely on, or do we do our own work here?
No, you have to, if that's the way, that's the only way I would say we get it through the county board, was to assure
cost to the county.
Uh-huh. So
that doesn't mean that if you apply for a grant or something like that, that there's...
If we want funding, we have to find it ourselves. If we want, so we need to be. I mean, there's. If we keep talking about it, I think there we'll have a whole world that we can explore. But we need to pin it down to a few priorities that, and then make assignments amongst ourselves about who's going to tackle what and bring it back so that we can, make some decent headway. But we do need to keep it realistic, since we're going to be the ones doing the work, and we're going to have to, to make this successful, we're going to have to dedicate a few hours a week on our own time to, pull things together as far as inventories and, what other people are doing, what are the policies at ICAP and some of the other things, so that we can, have a little background.
And I think Kathy and Brad, through their various... different things that the Farm Bureau has sponsored, so that's a very good.
Right. Yeah, well, I think that's a good thing to do right now is throw a bunch of things into the hopper, and then, we can figure out which ones we want to pursue. They can be what we think is the most important, or we can think of what's, a personal interest of somebody. I think we can go both ways. But just being realistic, we're not going to be able to, be all things to all people. We'll have to kind of narrow our scope once we figure out, what the, what all is available to us.
Do we want to look at having some kind of a, like a mission, basically, to something that what we're trying to accomplish in the next 2 years, some kind of a mission that gives us the ability to stay on task?
Well, that's a good idea. I think that, there are some topics for us to pursue in the resolution here, but I think as long as we don't spend a whole lot of time, creating a mission statement. I've been in some organizations where you spend week after week after week in a mission statement, and if we can come up with one relatively quickly, I think it's probably a good idea.
Well, don't call it a mission, just an idea of what we're going to try to accomplish in 2 years.
Uh-huh. Well, do we want to take a look at one of the sections of the resolution here? And it's got a few things that it has suggested that we pursue. Several bullet points here. One, enhance economic development and strengthen local food systems within the county. Two, bring stakeholders together and provide mechanisms for seeking stakeholder advice and expertise. I think this one goes right along with the inventory of local food producers and users. Explore means for small business loans. Coordinate and collaborate with existing programs within Champaign County and other county and state food policy organizations regionally. Of course, that ties in with the Bloomington Hub. Bring to the attention of the county board new programs. Identify and recommend to the county board policy initiatives to support the goals and objectives of the Local Foods Policy Council. And finally, to establish a website presence on the Champaign County website.
Keep in mind, there's so many connections at the university about topics that you might want to explore.
The folks at NRS,
the folks in AGCon, or I think of the folks in soil science, that depending on what track you go on,
there would be terrific collaboration with
with them. I'll get information or ideas or suggestions that you might.
That's a big main one.
Two things, Todd. You read off those bullet points. Don't forget the paragraph in advance of those bullet points that also talks about recognizing the local foods council to encourage establishment. There's about another five or six of them listed in that fifth paragraph that you could also call goals or objectives for this committee. So there's a whole other paragraph there right above it.
I think the educational piece to this is very important, bringing an awareness to the community. Because I think there's a lot of people, a lot of restaurants, that just simply don't know what's out there and where to go.
There are a lot of restaurants that source locally and don't state it anywhere on their menu. They don't credit the farms. I mean, they just, that's just kind of what they do. And
of the university that does research projects, this would be a terrific way of building a bridge loop in to get some of that marketing, kicked off some way like that. They're always looking for research projects, and they do different things like with the 12-week span. That's another way of capturing.
Just anecdotally, a lot of people have heard about the formation of this council and have approached me asking for more information, friends that own the Art Mart, people who run restaurants downtown. I do think it would behoove us to fairly quickly come up with kind of an identity, a public identity for ourselves, a way to invite people to attend for public comment, ways to get people excited about it, because people are excited about local food, but I think involving them then in this council could be really critical.
That's an idea, yeah, to get, once we have a few meetings and we want to get out to the public, go into the farmer's market would be a good way of doing it. I mean, there are always, press conferences and stuff like that, or press releases, when we have something to release, I think the press would cover us.
Yeah, so the amount of you or
one thing that the farmer did with RCSA is to coordinate with somebody, I think, at the U of I. I don't know if she was in the college bag and ACES or something, but they surveyed every one of the members of the CSA to find out, what's important to you. Why did you join the CSA? So we can get those results back, and if we want to do some kind of a survey, maybe we can tie in with some of the questions on that survey too.
Maybe extension of the entity.
It may have been somebody at extension. I'm not sure.
Especially,
We have Champagne, Fort Iroquois, and Vermilion.
So as far as next steps, I think that the inventory is probably a really good next step. How do we want to try to accomplish that one? Is there something that a list of some of the local producers right now?
Yeah, Kathy. Yeah, the Illinois Stewardship Alliance has a Buy Fresh, Buy Local, which has a directory.
Okay.
And I think it's online.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, so I can send a PDF to everyone. And that includes the Bloomington area, the Springfield area, and Champaign, and I don't think it's divided. I would really like to see us become, there's so much out there, and we don't want to reinvent the wheel.
Yeah.
I would like to see us become a clearinghouse type of organization where, and we have to market ourselves as such. Come here if you want to find out about this, Because that seems to be what this whole area is lacking. It's knowledge of each other, It's like, you're touching the tail of the elephant, but things are going on. It's like there's no one place, and that's what I want to see.
So this one thing you would like to see is, I don't think that this council can be that, but we can try to create a word. My understanding is we've got a 2-year time frame. Is that it, or
the way the resolution is written is a sunset clause of a 2-year time frame. The reason for that is sort of threefold. One, you might just be so brilliant in 2 years that you've done your job and the council is not needed anymore. Second is that the council is well established and wants to go on in the present structure. Or the third is that there's so much growth that there needs to be an expanded structure. And so that's the reason for the 2-year sunset clause in the resolution.
I think that's right. I get the feeling too that some people need to have this hub, a Champaign-Urbana hub or Champaign County hub, like we've been talking about the Bloomington one, and see a place where people can come, whether you want to buy local produce or be involved with it or start growing, some place where you can get the information that you need. I'm not sure as a county policy committee if that should be us, or if we should try to encourage one to form.
One thing I'd also like to mention, we're all talking a lot about the demand side, but we should also talk about, we should try to find out what producers perceive as barriers to forming their own. Why hasn't this happened yet so far? And how can local producers access to our local market in a more effective way? So instead of just looking at the demand side also.
Well, just two things. Remember that RPC does have a small business loan cash. Helping people get started if they're interested in farming. That's a very, possible conduit. That doesn't take a lot of work. It just is a conduit to RPC. And Todd said maybe that's not what we as a council can do, but the council, if they decide that it's important to establish something countywide that makes a statement that local foods are important, or the expansion of local foods for economic development. There can be policies passed on the county level that make a statement and set a tone with it.
One thing that sticks out in my mind is the reason why the edible economy group hit the ground running maybe was because they have access to more farmers who are producing food for people, growing and livestock and such. Whereas in Champaign County, that percentage of producers is very much smaller. And isn't that true that McLean County has?
I just know that they've looked into that. They have done They have not looked at that side of the equation at all.
Oh, okay.
Because I've talked to them and asked, you know, well, your goals are a food hub to get to supply food to local restaurants, Chicago, wherever you want to go with a food hub. I asked them, I said, how many farmers do you need? Well, we haven't gotten to that point. Uh-huh. And so they don't know that yet. I think Zach's point is very important for all of us to take a step back. I've been part of different groups before that want to look at local foods, and again, I fully support, the Farm Bureau fully supports it. But the challenge is there is not a lot in Champaign County that want to do local foods. In the last 6 months, between us and the Extension, we've done two different meetings. As Patsy pointed out, we did a Meet the Buyers, where we brought in local restaurants, we brought in a Schnucks grocery store, all these places looking for local foods. And in that meeting, there was one or two growers from Champaign County even here. Mm-hmm. The rest of them were from Arthur, up farther up Kankakee. There were no growers from Champaign County at the meeting. We then proceeded about 2 weeks later with a food hub meeting where we brought in the individuals from Bloomington spoke. We brought in Colleen Callahan from that has state and federal dollars that she can bring to the table. There still were no, everybody at that table talked about the supply side. Nobody talked, let me back up, the demand side. Nobody talked about the supply side. And I just think that that's a missing gap. We can sit here and talk all night that it's such a great thing and that there is demand, but where is the supply coming from?
Maybe we should focus on that.
Yeah. And there are a lot of challenges with that. Oh, you can.
But they tend to move out of state because they have established.
There are challenges to getting started. I mean,
that's barriers. The price of money.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, it also efficiency.
Let me remind you to speak into the microphones if you could when we're conversing so that we can record all this.
Well, and just as a reminder, as you all are plowing through all of this, Bob Rusk, who is at the university and has the connections with ECEO, is a terrific source, and there's money. And Paul Faraci is very supportive of getting this council started, and he even got had a DCEO sent a letter in support for this council. So there are avenues that seem to be open. There's no guarantees, but there are avenues that are open, and there is money in DCEO to look at to see if any of those monies, some of the things you all decide that you might want to pursue. And in getting monies, then you might have monies enough students to help on some of these projects.
Absolutely, Patsy. Todd Rusk and Paul Faraci were part of the discussion with the Food Hub and our Meet the Buyers meeting. Both of them were there and extremely supportive of it. Todd Rusk is the individual who led the group on the follow-up meeting to our Meet the Buyers on the Food Hub. Todd, both of them are great resources. Would it be possible, and I just ask this, would it be possible to get a list of the vendors from, say, the Urbana Farmers Market, the Champaign Market? I know Muhammad's got a farmers market. Maybe that's your starting point for a list of people that are going to farmers markets. Obviously, maybe most of them aren't at the point where they're dealing with restaurants, but they're at least in the business already. Mm-hmm. Is those type of lists free? Can you call up Urbana and get that sort of list?
Yeah.
The full list is on their website. I don't know.
At some point, the Urbana Farmers Market had a
list. But I know Champaign's got one, on Thursday?
The North First.
Muhammad's got a small one. I've seen the sign in Muhammad. I can't think of the day. I don't know if Rantoul has one, or I'm just thinking of bigger communities. But is it a possibility? Is that a starting point, Todd, that is a few phone calls to start to build a list of, and there's going to be duplicate and carryover, but is that a starting point to start to put together a list
and figure out
how to utilize that list in meeting our goals? You at least have something. As Patsy said, the initial steps wouldn't have to be the final step. tabs, but if they would be willing to share that, that would be a huge start.
If we could get started that way,
Well, that's one that they, we
does
got.
Does Sola Gratia belong to the Lutheran, the land?
The land belongs to the church, yeah. And it was, there's an organization called Faith in Place that works throughout the state. Maybe they're bigger than that, I don't know. But anyway, there's a staff member here, and he approached Pastor Rasmus and, you know, with this idea. And then Faith in Place gave the church a $25,000 grant to help us get started. And so, but one of the things that Faith in Place was interested in was to seeing if it would work at St. Matthew. Can that be a model to have it work in other places with other churches throughout the state? Because I think there are a lot of churches that have some kind of land in their portfolios.
And maybe if you all want to get some education, you might invite the likes of Todd Russ, the person at Faith in Place, because he's also a lobbyist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and right, has connections with the CEO. Paul Faraci is right here. Who, am I correct?
That's correct. Yes, Cynthia Haskins is takes care of that for the state of Illinois, for the Illinois Farm Bureau. So right. She's across the state working on this.
So there's some, you know, if you want to do some educating of yourselves of some of the webs that are already out there. I do know the Community Justice Task Force sort of did that for themselves as they were starting out. Just
yeah.
That approach that you're organizing some of your first.
Yeah. Well, personally, I feel like I'm, you know, way behind the eight ball. So I don't know very, you know, all these names. I've never heard of their names and so forth. So I would certainly need a little education myself to be able to get up to speed.
We all know little pieces.
But yeah, there's so many pieces, and you know a few of them, and that's just pulling them all together and, you know, trying to see, you know, how big the web is.
I wonder, organizationally then, because it sounds like we're going to be sharing then a lot of different pieces of information, if, and this is the boring stuff, but something I can offer, if you guys would be interested in having like an online project management tool, we utilize something called Basecamp, and if it's just for one, it's a free service, and I could set it up. It would basically be a place where we could post all these lists as they are accumulated, and you can view them then from one central location. Kind of notifies each member when something's posted. I mean, without a staff member, it's basically like getting a kind of an online packet before the next meeting, I think.
Okay.
If everybody got me their email addresses, I can get that set up.
We should
for us.
Do that at least. And we should probably pass a sheet around and have everyone put their name, address, phone number if they're willing to share it, and email. I thought she's here.
Yeah, it's got a whiteboard feature, so if you have a document, like say we decide we're going to do a mission statement, people can edit, tracks the edits. It's a two-way sync, so it's really easy to use. You can just reply to an email, and it'll sync that to the project, so you don't have yet another thing to log into all the time. Yeah.
There would not be any work other than.
Well, yeah, but that.
Yeah, it's not
pretty,
so no.
All right,
that's what I was.
I hear about the Open Meetings Act.
Okay.
I forgot to remind you all. You can understand this. You all can send something out
Chris has found something and he wants to let you all know about it. Okay? That's perfectly all right. Just don't reply to back to everybody. Reply individually.
Right.
You can get reply all. Okay?
So,
okay.
Right. Email counts as a conversation.
Yeah,
right.
Email counts as a conversation.
I wonder.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for reminding me, to remind them.
In that instance, the changes to documents and whatnot, that would that be affected by?
No, it's just like, for instance, when I send something to the Democratic Caucus, I send it to all of them. And just as a reminder, I always put down at the bottom, remember, just reply to me. Don't hit reply to everyone.
I think your point may be valid, actually. If we were to have a write board and be finessing a mission statement and more than one person, because we'd all be potentially chiming in, you're right. That specific part may violate open meetings. But I think if we just use it as a place to post information for now.
Have you ever heard of that, Patsy, like where people have like an online document, like a Google Doc or something?
Okay.
Because that's
opinion on that part.
You know, as technology changes, you need a
technology
new interpretation.
And I will ask somebody in the state to turn this off on that one.
Just
to keep things.
Yeah, the conversation part.
Right. So the way this specific application functions is that there's a write board, and then there's a place for comments. So what we're going to clarify is, may we use the write board, but we already know we couldn't.
Well, there's a difference comment.
So, let's see, inventory, I've got checking with the farmers that go to the Urbana-Champaign-Mahomet Farmers Market, and the Buy Fresh, Buy Local directory. Any other ideas for that, or is that going to be a good enough start?
Yeah, there's a specialty growers list. I can get that.
A specialty growers list?
Zach or I will get that. Both of us, I believe, have access to that. We can get that.
Okay.
I guess you must have a list of folks that you deal with on a daily basis.
Yeah, the list. I sometimes go outside that list, though. Like, for example, I have a wedding coming up in August that I'm trying to source some local lamb for, and it's not going to be on any of the lists that we have. So, I can certainly supply a list of vendors as well.
So you'll be able to bring that? That's not proprietary?
No.
Okay.
I can check and look into the farmers markets.
Do you get any vendors that aren't at the farmer's market, or do you know?
I have a couple that probably aren't at the farmer's market, and I can include them in the list.
Okay, yeah, if you bring in a list of your vendors, too, or suppliers. Well, that sounds like we'll be able to get a pretty good start with all that.
Do you want to go anywhere with the best practices, other local food hubs, or to see what ones are out there?
Are we
too branched out now?
Well, I don't know. I've got a couple things down here as far as what I was, think we ought to start with. But inventory was one. The other thing on my list was see what Bloomington is doing, or other, if there are any other people that we think we ought to invite that are trying to do the same thing. Does the group feel like we want to get somebody, a rep from the Bloomington group here, or have they been here often enough that we know what they're doing?
Nancy, is it, I'm pretty sure I know this answer, but I'll ask anyway. Is it possible to do a conference call with them?
I think we could.
In this room? I'm just thinking of saving them another trip. If we tell them 5:30, they may be more than willing to say, well, I don't want to drive, but if we can do it over the phone.
Well, that and that since we have extension of the county goes extension money, extension here is terrific. There's extension in the
Clayton
County, so
well, I've seen the county board do teleconferences way back when, so I knew the answer, but I thought I'd ask anyway. So I've seen them do it, so it's available in this room. Maybe that opens up a door for some of the individuals that we may want to speak with, two or three, however many that is, that may be a little farther away, and instead of saying, well, we want you to drive, perhaps we could just do a speakerphone and say, you know, it'll be from 5:30 to 5:45. We need you on the line for 15 minutes or a specified time. They may be much more willing to visit with us. I would be much more willing to visit with someone if I knew I didn't have to drive for an hour to for 30 minutes of a group that's still trying to feel their way of what are we exactly doing.
Yeah.
Let me share with you, NAPO has the National Association of Parents. They have this publication on local foods, and this gives you some idea of what can't be around the country. This is the Farm Bureau publication, Illinois Farm Bureau. You were talking about urban gardens. There's a lot on that. The Planning Association has a whole lot on urban gardens, what is happening on the roofs of places. There's a lot from the USDA. This is from the Land Connection, which Kathy has mentioned. There's a lot of documentation out there that is a good starting place.
Nancy, and you, before you set this up, you obviously, not you set this up, let me rephrase that, before you broached this idea, you probably did some research. Did you find a lot of other counties that were doing this, or?
There are other counties in the state that you can look at, very much so. Iowa, North Carolina are excellent places. What is happening in Boulder, Colorado. The NACO publication is really quite good as to what is happening.
How many were in Illinois? I mean, I appreciate Iowa, North Carolina and stuff, but boy, well, that's in a different region.
Right,
things are different there.
They function under different cultures, shall we say, even laws. When I did the search on Illinois, actually it's up on my political website. If you go to patsy.info, patsyfeature.info, and when I posted everything, when I was working on writing the resolution, I did it through off back to my website of what I was finding, and there is a lot of documentation that comes from the task force that Wes Gerald was very involved with that established that law on the state level. And that really is a good flying wedge on things that built off, because that groundwork has been laid out. And no one's on board. So.
There you go.
DCEO is on board. Brad was also verified by Paul Fauci, of us. Are very good sources and very supportive of this. So. Taking advantage of those folks right here in town and the small business group.
And I wish I could tell you anything, because we're working with them on looking at the establishment of the co-op.
some other co-op mechanisms that will help local foods. And there is a real grassroots group that's beginning to work and explore that. I mean, they've moved into the theater in Champaign. The co-op is expanding, and they're looking for other entities that would work well in the configuration of co-ops.
As far as inventory was concerned, let me just recap here, and we'll see if anybody else had any ideas. Chris was going to bring in a list of U of I vendors. Sarah was going to bring in co-op vendors or suppliers. Either Brad or Zach was going to get the specialty growers list. Kathy was going to bring in the Buy Fresh, Buy Local directory, and then I'll volunteer to contact Urbana-Champaign and Mahomet Farmers Markets to see about getting those. So does that cover the ground? What's that?
Danville.
Does Danville have a farmers market? Okay.
Last year.
Yeah, they do.
Okay, then as far as getting information on other local food policy councils or local food hubs, then how do we want to pursue that? We've got a lot of ideas.
Why don't we get our local stuff together first? Unless we need some structure for ourselves.
Well, I think it's helpful to have both, to get the inventory of the local growers or producers, and then also find out what other local food policy councils are doing, and we can see what they're doing. If we like what they're doing, we can mimic them. If we don't, we can go a different direction.
We could look for other local food policy councils in Illinois.
Patsy has that nice list on her website. I'm looking at it right now.
All right. She's already looking at it.
Yes.
Okay. My throw-up list?
Yes.
That's a good question.
So there is a list there of, is that Illinois or is that nation?
It's Illinois, and it does include contact information for whoever has been identified as the head of each of those groups. So if we have further questions for them.
Right, and there are other people who just didn't have time to apply to be on the council who are more than willing to be resources. Russ and Leslie said that they would. Diane Marlin said she would. I mean, I think she's never been a city council meeting. Lisa Rawls. She also said just she snowed under with the farmers market, but anything that she can do to facilitate information, whatever the council would like to get, absolutely. And there's other people in the community who are very interested in local.
I think it's a good idea to stay within Illinois because other states, they're just going to be different.
They are
great. Legislatively, everything.
But if you're looking for inspiration.
I volunteer to sit down with Lisa and just talk to her about what some of her thoughts are.
Okay. Well, the other thing that I've thought, it's kind of been brought up a little bit is grant opportunities. Do we want to try to look for possible grant opportunities for, to try to get organized with maybe hiring a staff person to help us out a little bit in getting this going, or is it too early to talk about that?
There's definitely money out there.
Planners Network is a social planning entity,
And so those of you who are planning students, but two different students came and spoke all on their own in support of the local food council because they see that.
Be interested in doing research and things of that nature where they could build it into an independent study.
Well, those are all good possibilities.
Yeah, lots of possibilities.
So do we want to formally look at what kind of grants are out there right now, or just is that a little too soon to do that? Get a little bit more of our background together?
We should have some kind of focus to the grant before we go out and look.
Before we actually submit a proposal, we should have an idea of what we're going to do with it. But keeping in the back of our minds, if we hear of grant opportunities, you know, we may want to look at those in the not too distant future. Okay.
Well, it might be worth talking with Todd Russ because he might be able to. He might be the person who could give you some openings on what the DC field is.
And what is his title? What does he do, Todd Russ?
Can you tell me what his title is?
No. I cannot, Patsy, no.
I have a email address, and I bet Zach, he's connected.
I cannot help.
He'll find Todd at the university and give you an email.
He's in the business building.
Well, he's in, his office is in, the building attached to the bookstore.
Oh, okay.
And there's a group of them there that are interested in outreach. And also the Office of Sustainability at the university is very much interested in outreach and the things that we could build on very interestingly. You may or may not know, behind bringing Major Carter to the community.
And Lincoln, the both lawyers were there.
Yes, that was part of the group that helped bring her in. But anyway, there was a workshop, and a lot of things spun out of that workshop, and there's another to put in a particular file of evidence to pursue.
Todd works for Business Innovation Services.
Yes, I thought.
And he is in Local Foods Project under the Energy and Sustainability Program.
The Energy and Sustainability Program is the new name for the University Sustainability Group.
Oh, thank you.
So
okay.
That's
shifting names.
They're forming a more.
Great. Things. Perfect. Thank you.
What was that? You want to see if he'll come and talk to us?
Sure, I can contact Todd.
Yeah, Todd Ross.
Oh, he's so
simply
happy to. I mean, he wrote a letter of support. He came and talked before the county board in support of this. So he's very
well acquainted with what has gone on.
And maybe that can give you the email address for Barbara Minsford, MINSKER. That's a good contact to the Office of Sustainability.
If we want to, you know, kind of shore up the supply side in Champaign County, he might be a really good person to give us ideas about creating business plans for farmers and just
outlining kinds of things like that. Because I really think, you know, before we have all this other stuff up here, we need stuff down there. You know, people working.
In my experience,
yeah.
There are a lot of little farmers.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And there are a lot of high demand clients or possible customers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And what's missing, and that's what we're looking at, what's mm-hmm. missing is the ability to connect all these little
that's
farmers
right.
with some, with the demand in a meaningful way.
Right.
Because me bringing 2 dozen eggs is not going to help
no.
county market.
No.
So,
no.
I mean, and so what we're looking at is some way to facilitate the middle.
Barbara Minsker's email address is minsker@illinois.edu. That's M-I-N-S-K-E-R.
Who is that again, Zach?
Barbara Minsker.
Office of Sustainability.
Well, she's a good connection to the Office of Sustainability. She was very involved in bringing the Jura Carter here and setting up that workshop that the Jura participated in. And right now we're all working on the ideas that spun out of that. And I'm working on a community charrette for this fall that spun out of that workshop, so charrette. And so there are a lot of ideas that, as always, percolate to the surface, and Barbara just sent a message out, you know, what are people doing, and so that opens us another door of, you know, something natural.
Kathy, I think you're right on target there, and that's what we tried to achieve with the extension, the Farm Bureau, when we did that Meet the Buyers. I happened to bring that agenda. We had the Hendrick House there. We had the Edible Economy Project was there. Schnucks was there. Feeding Illinois, Eastern Illinois Food Bank, Central Illinois Produce, Strawberry Fields. And of course, Chris, you were there as the last group. And that was the intent, was to bring in some buyers so growers wouldn't have to spend a week on the phone trying to get to the right person within these organizations. We brought all the buyers to them and said, here is your buyer, and they made a presentation of what they were looking for, what type of quality they were looking for, the amount they were looking for, and then stepped off into rooms both in the Extension and the Farm Bureau to sit down with growers individually and say, okay, this is maybe how much I'm willing to pay you for this product, and are you interested in starting to build that relationship? I mean, we achieved between the two of us what would take a week or two for an individual to get to the right person within one company mm-hmm. to get to them to answer the phone. We achieved that in one afternoon to give them 6 options to go visit. But Kathy, you're right. Not all of those were looking for someone that had the 2 dozen eggs. There were some. The Central Illinois Produce, for example, was looking for a little bit bigger. And there were people in the room that were willing to do that. But the point is there just weren't a lot of buyers or sellers there that were willing to do them.
Well, that's also a self-perception problem on the part of the suppliers, the farmers. They've talked to people, they perceive themselves as being too small. They also perceive it as not a profitable market. A lot of them don't want to approach any kind of a wholesale situation because they think they're not going to be able to turn a profit.
And Patsy and I have talked numerous times. There are individuals making more money doing local foods per acre than there are farmers that are growing corn and soybeans on 1,000 acres of that. There is no question in my mind it is just as profitable and in many instances more profitable than it is to do corn and soybeans.
Depends on how hard you're willing to work.
That's right, too.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, well, that sounds like a terrific step, you know, and I don't know, if you were disappointed at the response from the sellers, then, you know, I think it's something to worthwhile doing again, and, you know.
And they did one of these, the Illinois Farm Bureau and the Extension in Southern Illinois did this, and I will say I'm not being pessimistic on this. They did have a little bit of growing pains when they were in the South in the second year. They had a lot more interest. From the seller standpoint. So it does just take a little bit of time on things sometimes to get things accomplished.
I think once those specialty growers
realtors tell their friends that this tremendous opportunity exists for them to meet all these potential buyers in one afternoon, that it just every.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that as
positive relationships begin to form, more and more farmers are available.
And like just going to a farmer's market and getting those. Get it there, you know. And that was the concept of the edible economy, was to get it all of their food. So, you know, Carl Clinic, food service needs, 500 bushels of peppers, and there was a conference where the
Urbandale did a thing. You were there, Chris, weren't you?
Yeah, that was really interesting. How they contract.
500 peppers this week, and next week I need 800 bushels, and the week after that I only need 200. You know, that kind of information, so people know what to produce.
It helps to have an aggregator,
right.
Somebody who's keeping
right.
track of the spreadsheet.
That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think that's right. If growers can anticipate what the buyers are going to need and when, then you can plan accordingly. That makes it a lot easier rather than just saying, I got 500 pounds of tomatoes, what am I going to do with them?
And that's what you were talking about, the virtual food hub.
Right.
Is a way to, is a way everyone to do can. That without actually taking your 500 bushels of peppers to the elevator and then the elevator takes
exactly.
I do believe there's a forum for that. I want to say it's called Market Maker.
Market Maker, and that was born from the extension.
Yeah, where you put your needs online and they match you with various different growers.
How much use is Market Maker getting now?
Well, it's grown to a national program. I can't really comment as far as how much locally it's used, but I know the model is successful and it's been replicated in other states.
Well, what else do we want to tackle today? I'm going to make a suggestion that we try to keep our meetings to under 2 hours, make a 2-hour time limit. So generally when we meet at 5:30, we'll close no later than 7:30. That doesn't mean we have to meet for the entire 2 hours, but I know meetings tend to get long if they go over 2 hours. Is there any objection to adopting that as an informal rule? Yeah. If somebody wants to make it shorter, that may be okay too. But right now, I think we've tackled a lot for this initial meeting, and getting a little bit of background, and seeing how far the web spreads throughout Champaign County and beyond. And so, next meeting, we'll get our list of inventory and vendors. Are we going to each do our own research on what other local food policy councils are doing? And once we get on your website again, Patsy, was just patsypetrie.com or
dot info.
It's patsypetrie.info.
Dot info.
And when you click on the section that says news.
That's
PATSY.
Okay.
PATRIE.
PATTSIE.
No, PATTSI.
I.
PETRIE.
Info. Okay. Sorry.
It's got a lot of stuff and stuff on it, but if you click on the left side under news, then you'll get.
Under news, okay.
So our next meeting is
for that page. Just run down and get to local food.
So our next meeting would be what? The 25th?
No, the 27th. Meeting on Wednesday.
Oh, Wednesdays, yeah, okay. And, if we don't get a whole lot of public participation, it may be, that the room next door is more beneficial to conversation. You can all sit around the same table and face each other rather than this is kind of difficult to have an ongoing discussion.
There's barriers.
So, yeah. So, I assume that the Jenny Putman room would be available on Wednesday? basically every second and fourth.
I would say yes, you know, without going through all the different banks. I think it is.
Yeah.
Thank you for checking on me.
Yeah, thanks. So.
How do we reserve?
She just did it for you.
Okay.
Is there a way to try to reserve it for every second and fourth?
Yes. Somehow.
Somehow.
This computer is not very serious.
And that way, then, when the staff sends out. Right. And if, you know, if you decide to meet someplace else for whatever reason, maybe you want to go see something, whatever, let us know so then it just says you're meeting them.
There we
go. What's the name of the room again?
That's the Jenny Putman room.
It's just right through that door right there.
Yeah. When you come in the parking lot in the back there, it's virtually the first door that you come upon.
Right across the right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's got a big table that would we can all just sit around a table, and it would have, you know, enough space for at least a few members of the public if we get public participation.
There are sufficient chairs there, and that's all of a sudden you're on some really hot topic like the jail issue.
So is it okay just to change our meeting place from this room to the Jenny Thumb room? Okay. Okay, well then...
Todd, were you wanting me to see if Todd Russ could join us and speak to the group for a specified time amount next meeting, or we're not quite ready for that?
Well, I think he'd be perfect for getting some background. I mean, from what I understand, I don't really know him, but from what everybody's been saying, it seems like he'd be good to give us a little background on, you know, what our purpose is. So if he's available...
I think that he would give us a big picture overview of kind of his take on where kind of local foods is at, kind of big picture, maybe not be able to drill down quite to the local level, meaning Champaign-Urbana. I mean, I think he would be able to offer some input, but I think he would be able to supply some big picture. Zach, you
heard him speak at different meetings as well.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with that assessment.
Sure, if he's available, the next meeting would be great. If not, you know, any of the next couple of meetings would be perfect.
Sure, I will make a contact with him tomorrow and drop him an email and see if he's available to join us on the 27th at 5:30.
Okay, and then do we want to try to pursue the Bloomington people by conference call? Probably not at the same meeting, huh?
Not at the same one.
Well, we'll talk about that maybe the next time, and we can set it up for maybe the first meeting next month. Let's see, where are we on the agenda? We'll move on to other business then. Is there any other business?
I'd like to introduce Gary Maxwell. He's a fellow member of the county board.
Gary, how are you doing?
Good.
We've already passed public participation, but I think the committee or the council would allow you a minute or two of public participation if you have something to say to us.
I don't like to talk a lot, but I'm glad to see you all. I'm glad to see you all actively involved in this process. I think some of the county board members had some concerns initially about it, but I think you've got some good support and some good ideas, and I just stopped in tonight to see how it's going.
Well, thanks for coming. Okay, if there's no other business, then we've got our next meeting time and date and place. If there's no further business to come before us, we stand adjourned.
And again, thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Thank
you, Pat. We'll see everyone in 2 weeks and 2 days.
Yes, I did.
Yes, I did.
That's true.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
I can just
defer that for a while. Whenever we get to an RFP stage, that's pretty much a done deal. I don't know if they're even